buzzer has sounded. We are headed to overtime with William Pattison on Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Fan Run Radio.
And here we go. Live on a game day from Knoxville, Tennessee in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's overtime with William Pattison and Dawson Wise. Joining you as we anticipate the tip-off between Tennessee and South Carolina. Big game for the Vols tonight. We were talking about, as we were walking in, Joe Lunardi says if Tennessee wins tonight, a one seed for the Vols, a big one.
Yeah, huge one. Biggest game of the year, biggest game in years, I would argue.
Yeah, well, you know, we thought that Saturday was the biggest game under Rick Barnes, and now they keep getting bigger and bigger, so you got to like that. We'll get you ready for the South Carolina game. We'll dive into yesterday's baseball game as the Diamond Vols dominate Kansas State, and as always, we'll give our best bets at the end of the hour, 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop in and join. So let's dive right in to the Vols looking for revenge at South Carolina tonight. The fourth-ranked Tennessee men's basketball team travels to Palmetto State for its final true road contest of the season, facing the number 17/16, whatever rankings you want to give South Carolina on Wednesday night. Tip-off slated for 7 p.m. Eastern time will be played on ESPN. The matchup features the Vols, who come in at 23-6, 13-3 in SEC play, coming off a win at Alabama on Saturday. Gamecocks, on the other hand, 24-5, 12-4 in SEC play, coming off a home win against Florida on Saturday. It's important to note the previous matchup of these two teams, probably Tennessee's worst game of the season. The Gamecocks defeated the Vols at Food City Center 63-59. In that matchup, the Vols shot 23.8% from three and allowed the Gamecocks to double them in 3 points made. In the past 4 years, Tennessee leads all SEC teams with 20 AP top 25 wins, good for five more than any other SEC program. That's Alabama with 15. That also ties Purdue for fourth in the country. Real quick, we'll give our KenPom breakdown. UT is the number 6 overall team, number 19 in adjusted offense, number 3 in adjusted defense. South Carolina, on the other hand, number 44 overall, number 49 in adjusted offense, number 41 in adjusted defense. Slight advantage here to the Vols, but this is a road contest where we've seen a fluctuation this season from the Vols on the road. Really good against Kentucky, a little bit scary against Missouri, and it's just kind of been an ebbs and flow all season. I mean, Alabama's probably the best win of the year. You get it done on the road.
Yeah.
Let's dive into our keys to the game for the Vols, and we appreciate your calls at 865-546-8200. We'll get to you here in just a moment. My three keys to the game, let's begin with number one. Got to get out to a good start.
Yep.
You've done it against Kentucky and Alabama, who are similar, I guess, not opponents in the way they play, but in terms of ranking and how good these teams are, South Carolina's right up there with both of those. Got to get out to a hot start. You were able to do that in both the Kentucky and Bama games. It gives you the opportunity to take a little bit of the momentum that you're already set back with playing on the road. So get off to a hot start. The second thing, I think you've got to lock in defensively. This is a South Carolina team that was able to double you in threes last time, struggled inside the paint, but really was able to thrive on the perimeter. So you've got to make sure you're checking guys like Michi Johnson and Talon Cooper, two of their guards, and making sure that these guys don't make this the night that they want to have. Finally, I think you've got to get a big performance from Connect, but also who's going to be the X factor tonight that's coming off the bench or one of the rotational pieces? And we'll answer that question here in a minute. But I think you've got to get a big boost from one of those guys like you've had in all these games. And Josiah Jordan-James was the guy against Kentucky. The Jemai Mashak game was on Saturday against Alabama. Who's going to be that guy that steps up, that's threat, if you will? Because we know what Zakai Ziegler brings. We know what Jonas Adu brings. We know what Dawn Connect brings. But the other guys, who's going to step up and fill that role tonight? Those are my three keys to the game.
I've got three as well. First one, manage the moment. This is the highest stakes regular season game that I could argue that you've had under Rick Barnes, in my opinion. You've got a lot to play for tonight. You've obviously got the outright SEC regular season championship with a win tonight in Columbia. You've also now got Joe Lunardi saying that this gets you onto the one line. This game gets you onto the one line if you win tonight. So manage the moment. Do not let it affect how you play. Know the stakes. Know what's going to happen if you win, but go out and play the game the same way. Don't let it change how you play. Don't let it change how you play, especially on the offensive end, but on both ends of the floor. It's any other game. Go out there and take care of your business, get the job done, and reap the benefits when you're done. Manage the moment is the first one for me. The second one is shoot better, especially from three. In this game in Knoxville, when they came to Knoxville, a really bad offensive performance. I mean, brutal, especially from behind the arc. You need to do better. And this team has done better over the past several weeks. It goes back to what I said last night about this team has figured out how to fix what goes wrong. Mm-hmm. They'll have a bad game and say, oh, okay, well, we know what we need to fix now.
Yep.
Next game, it's automatically better. And we've seen it get better. Do it again tonight. You shot well against Alabama. I thought it was a bigger defensive game than I thought many of us had expected. But I thought you shot the ball well in that game. Do that again. Shoot the ball well. Do better offensively. And you really shouldn't have a problem scoring a pretty high number against a team that's just not notable for its defense tonight in Columbia. Hit your shots. Hit your looks. Find the open shooters. Do everything you can there. Third one, final one for me is aggressive defense. And we saw this in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
No buckets from the last 9 minutes for the number one offense in the country. That's your last 9 minutes of defense coming into this game. So carry that forward. Carry that into tonight. Play with the same aggression. There's no reason not to. You know, this is just as big a game. This is a bigger game tonight. And Alabama was a huge game on Saturday. This is an even bigger game.
Yeah.
Do that again tonight. Bring that energy. Play aggressive. Don't play timid, which is a problem I know that many of us had talked about on here between Jordan had all brought up about this team plays very timid, especially on the road defensively. They're a whole different team. I don't think so anymore after Saturday. So be aggressive, make plays, and fly around, and you should be successful there as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jordan, something he told me earlier that he wanted to be put out here. Keep looking at that last game. We shut them down inside the arc.
Yep.
They shot the lights out from three. You missed a ton of rim attempts, a lot of free throws, a lot of threes. They only won that game by four. So if Tennessee is able to play at least a shell of what we know they're capable of, you like Tennessee in this matchup to get it done. Let's head to the phones real quick. We'll cover more storylines as we continue through the hour, but let's head to the phones real quick. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop in. We've got Joshy Boy on the line. What's up, Joshy?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
A little bit nervous, but confident we're going to pull it out tonight.
Yeah, look, you got to have good nerves. You know, you got to embrace the moment. There are not a lot of opportunities Tennessee has had to, possibly win a game and have a number one seed in the NCAA tournament this late in the year. So you got to go in with the same confidence the guys are going to go in with. You know, we know what we're capable of. We know last time we faced off with these guys, they got the upper hand on us, but we feel like, you know, we didn't shoot the ball well, missed a lot of rim attempts, missed a lot of free throws that y'all only won by four. So you got to go in with the confidence tonight. If you're able to play your game, you're able to walk out of here with a win.
So my X factor for tonight is going to be Josiah Jordan James.
All right.
Going back to his home state of South Carolina, I think he's at least going to drop an 18 or 20 piece.
Oh, wow. I'd love a 20 piece, and 18 is good as well. Something we'll cover here a little bit later on is who our X factor is off the bench. I think Josiah Jordan James is a great candidate for that, considering the experience he has. He's got about a week left of being a Tennessee Vol in the regular season, so I'm trying to go off on a good note, like he's talked about many times this season, how he knows he needs to keep on elevating his game. And I think in an opportunity like tonight where the stakes are the highest, that's a really nice opportunity to do that. So I'm looking forward to seeing a possible 20-burger from him. That'd be great.
Yeah, it would be great. So if Tennessee does win tonight against South Carolina and win Saturday against Kentucky, does that pretty much wrap up the talk for Tennessee getting that last one seed in the NCAA tournament?
Okay, so run through that scenario one more time. So are you saying if we lose tonight and win Saturday?
If we go 2-0.
If we win
If you go 2-0, I'd be floored. I'd be willing to make a nice wager that we'd be the number one seed.
Even more so now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw where the Florida win has been upgraded to a quad one.
Yes.
You see that?
Okay.
We're now 7-5 in quad one games. Arizona's now 7-3.
Yes, I saw that because I put out a stat on a couple of my other platforms yesterday about the resume, and I had 6-5, and someone texted me this morning and said it's 7-5, actually.
It got upgraded today.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I don't
well,
I don't think
last night yeah, after yeah, Florida's yes, win against Alabama.
Yeah. So now it's a quad one win. That's 7, and Tennessee has 2 more opportunities, and that would put Tennessee at 9 quad one wins compared to Arizona's 7 if it's all said and done and goes our way. So I think that would bolster the Vols above the Wildcats.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit of Vols baseball. What did you guys think about Dean Curley's performance last night against Kansas State? 3 home runs, almost 4 home runs.
Yeah, a record-setting performance, that is, from freshman shortstop Dean Curley. It tied the UT single-game record with 3 home runs and finished with 9 RBIs. You know, Curley, I had this conversation about 2 weeks ago with a couple of my buddies as we were walking into the A&M game. They were like, you know, does Antigua still start when Curley comes back? And I go, no, I think Antigua will still start now. I think you have to keep Curley in the lineup with what he's doing offensively. Jace was talking about it yesterday. I think he, out of 7 at bats or something like that, he's hit a home run on 5 of them, something like that. He's been on fire, and you know, nearly completing a home run cycle in one game is incredible. Curley was the standout star last night, but you also got, you know, Simo, Blake Burke, Billy Annett, or Amick, Cannon Peebles, Dylan Dreiling, Hunter Inslee. They all finished with 2 hits apiece as well. So it was really an offensive barrage against a respectable Kansas State group. Anything to add, Dawson?
No, record-setting. Fun to watch, too, by the way.
Yeah, very fun.
I think the most fun part about his effort last night was the 4th at-bat, where he comes up and you hear the crowd really lose its mind coming off the bat.
Yeah.
Just, you know, having him in that spot, in the spot to set make history, even though he already did. I mean, being the 6th guy to hit 3 homers in a game. But having the chance to hit 4 – awesome, and we'll get to talk about him, I think, a little bit later on in the hour. But, man, what a night for him. Real statement he's making so far this year.
For sure.
So if Tennessee solidifies that third starting pitcher by the time we get the SEC play, and I'm a big, like, watching the pitchers guy, and it really kind of irritates me when Tennessee, like, walks a lot of batters. If they can limit that, I think they'll be fine this season.
I think you'll know who the Sunday guy is this weekend.
This weekend.
Because Illinois is a respectable club from the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And really, you know, as we've talked about this team over the last, you know, 2 or 3, 4 weeks, the Illinois weekend was my deadline to know who that Sunday guy was, because that's a big series right before you open up SEC play at Alabama. So I think that you'll know who the Sunday guy is this weekend, unless we see a poor performance.
Right. And out the door, William and Dawson, I'm going to give you my best bet of the night. I'm rolling with the Huskies at Marquette -5. I think with Tolek being out for Marquette, I think that's going to be a big loss. Y'all have a good night.
Yeah, I do agree. That's an interesting game to watch tonight. No Kolek, and we talked a little bit about him 2 days ago, but I think his absence is something to watch out for as we go forward and monitor going forward as well. Let's get back into the game tonight. Dalton Knecht, we know how special he is, averaging 24.6 points per game in SEC play, the second highest mark of any player in league action, behind only Zach Edey with 25.3 in the Big Ten. In the previous matchup, Knecht scored 31 points for the Vols, a really big late-game effort from him, and that was one of the examples we used of kind of the team kind of sitting around and watching him with their hands in their pockets as Knecht just kind of did his thing. And we've kind of slowly gone away from that, and really, you know, as we've been talking about the role players getting more involved, really have kind of gone away from that. So, but going back to Knecht, what can we expect from him tonight?
Well, here's the thing. In a moment like this, your stars have to shine. You know, in this kind of game, you expect that he will show up on the level that he did a couple weeks or last week against Auburn. I don't know if he'll score 50. I don't think we need that out of him, but 30 would be nice.
Yeah.
You know, see him be able to take over the game like we know he can. This is the moment that he would do it. I mean, it's the biggest statement he could make in a game like this tonight, where there's so much to play for,
yeah.
saying, hey, this is where I show up. This is the moment where I thrive, and I'm going to put the team on my back and carry us to a one seed, potentially, at least get us in that position. But on the other hand, don't do like you did last time when they came to Knoxville and force it to them and then walk away and be like, well, there you go, DK. We're just going to ISO. You can do everything. You know, we're just going to stand over here. You know, have fun. You know, get us back in this game. Don't do that. Don't put yourself in a spot where you have to do that.
Yeah.
But I fully expect him to shine tonight, and make some plays.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how Lamont Paris and the Gamecocks guard him, especially with how big of an impact Connect was late game. You know, last Saturday got in foul trouble. Connect only finished with 13. That's a little bit of an obscure number for him. So you look for him to bounce back, hopefully get back in the 20-point range. I think if you're able to get him to 20, 25, I think you're putting the Vols in a good situation. And that's saying – and that's thinking that other guys are involved as well in getting their share. So I think 25 would be a key number, just enough production to put it over the top. Compared to the other guys, but if you get the other guys involved as well, I think 25 would be a number to look at. And that's what really I expect from him tonight.
Yeah.
Now, going to the Gamecocks side, Michi Johnson, averaging 14.2 points per game for the Gamecocks. Their guard, Talon Cooper, paces the Cocks for 10 a night. In the previous matchup, the Vols did a really good job of locking down Michi Johnson, only had 3 points, but allowed Talon Cooper to go for 18. How important is locking down the Gamecocks guards?
Well, it's crucial. I mean, we've said this before, that in that game against South Carolina and the other losses this year, it feels like you just haven't been able to stop the guards. And then in those fire drill games as well, you know, Vanderbilt, Missouri, where you're giving up big performances to guards, you got to limit that. You can't let those guys take over. Tonight's going to be really hostile in Columbia. You know, the building's going to be rocking because they know what we're playing for and what they can keep us from playing for, if you will. So you got to be able to control those guys. Michi Johnson's a guy. He hits a couple buckets. All of a sudden, the building's rocking. He's feeling it.
Yeah.
A lot like Tyrese Radford and Wade Taylor that we saw here a few weeks ago when they came to Knoxville when we played them in College Station. So you got to keep those guys under control. Again, I think you just mirror what you did against Alabama. I mean, you did so well against Mark Sears. We talked about how frustrated he looked trying to shoot the ball, how desperate it got with him, especially in the second half with some of those shots that just, I mean, were not high percentage looks.
No.
So take those high percentage shots away, make them shoot those low percentage opportunities and give you opportunities to get defensive stops. I think it's going to be huge. Take the pressure off yourself offensively like you did against Alabama and let yourself control the pace of the game.
Yeah, and important to note, the Gamecocks are shooting about 35% from the top of the key. Those are their hot zones in some portions on the right side of the key, shooting well over 10% over the college basketball Division I average. So I think one thing you've got to do is make sure you key on these guys and do not allow a bunch of open shot threes. Did a really good job against Alabama with that. Only one open shot three. Cannot allow the Gamecocks to get hot at home, especially with these two guards that can really make a game a difference. These guys are difference makers for this team. So, got to lock down the perimeter. You did a really good job against Alabama. Let's hope to replicate it tonight. Now, Colin Murray Boyles and B.J. Mack held down the rebounding for the Cocks, combining for 10 a night. In the previous matchup, the Gamecocks had the advantage on the glass. Now, it wasn't a big one. I think it was like 40-37. Not a huge advantage, but still, you'd like to be in the positive in the rebounding category. How important is it to control the glass tonight?
Well, just as important as any other night. Leading back to that disaster in College Station, I feel like this team has really improved on that part of the game, and I feel like that's because they made it a focus. You know, that Texas A&M game kind of woke them up and said, okay, we're not rebounding well at all, and this was the worst performance. We need to get better. I think they have gotten better. It looked a lot better against Alabama, I think, on the glass. So, again, it's like a broken record. It's just the same key every single night. Get better. Continue to get better. Continue to do good things. Don't give them second chances, especially on their home floor. Take every chance you can to keep them from getting easy points, from getting those second chance points, which we talked about a lot leading into the Auburn game as well. Don't don't take away your opportunities either, though, on the offensive glass. You know, give yourself some chances. Not every shot's going to fall tonight. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be unconscious shooting, most likely. We don't know until the game tips off, I guess. But you're not going to be, 100%. So give yourself opportunities, too. Being on the road to capitalize every chance you come down the floor, score as much as you can. So it's crucial, as it has been in every game for pretty much the entire season.
Yeah, South Carolina ranks 55th in offensive rebound percentage. So something to note right there, making sure you're bringing the ball back down to get possessions. And, we saw how this Tennessee team likes to run out and pace. Getting those defensive rebounds is a spark plug for that. That's a break starter. Got to make sure you bring those down. Let's avoid getting Tobey Awaka and Jonas Adu in foul trouble early
on.
That
would be ideal.
That was not fun to watch. No. or see those guys head to the bench, because and Barnes did a good job of countering it, but by throwing Estrella in there and kind of using a mixture of Mayshak and Josiah Jordan-James as your makeshift five. But let's avoid that tonight, because B.J. Mack is a really good center, especially at getting rebounds. So would like to see Adu and Awaka stay out of foul trouble, at least just one of them, because if they're both in foul trouble, we got to go to the bench again, and we know that's Tennessee's thinnest part. So first off, make sure you're staying disciplined, staying out of foul trouble. But going back to the offense, bringing down these rebounds is how you spark your offense and get it going in transition, where Tennessee has had a record high in pace this year under Rick Barnes. So I think that's very important. And then also limiting the second chance opportunities for the Gamecocks. Your solid defense goes to waste if you're allowing second chance points. Those keys right there, you cannot allow if you want to win this game, especially on the offensive glass. A team that is done well all season on the offensive glass can't give these guys second chance opportunities, especially at home. Now, the Vols have gotten consistent production from a role player in all of the Vols' wins down the stretch as of late. Who is a role player to watch out for tonight?
I have two. I think the first one is pretty obvious, and it's Zakai Ziegler. He's been the guy besides Dalton Connect the past 2 to 3 weeks. Is quickly becoming a guy that's going to average double figures, double-double a night, basically. He's had several just huge performances in some of these games. And coming off 18 against Alabama, another big performance, has a chance to, again, pace Dalton Connect tonight. Be that second guy, but also be the ball handler. Be the guy that brings the ball up the court. He's so good at it now. He becomes the maestro almost for the offense flowing and is able to take some of that off of Dalton Connect, allow him to move around and try some things out. And then defensively, we know he's a pest. We need him to do that tonight in a big way. Kind of like Vescovi actually kind of did that against Alabama, really, I think on like three straight possessions. It was steal by Vescovi, bucket by Tennessee, steal, bucket, steal, bucket. We need Zakai Ziegler, among others, to do that tonight defensively as well. And the other one for me is Jonas Adu. Again, a guy that at any point is a threat to give you double figures on any given night, but especially tonight against a proven big. It was something we talked about for months at this point. The Vols center depth against good bigs, against good centers down low. You got a big challenge tonight against B.J. Mack, especially defensively. You talked about his rebounding. We've talked about that already, but hold him down defensively, but then go after him offensively too. Try to get yourself in double figures. Stay out of foul trouble, and I think he could really play an X factor tonight.
Mine's Vescovi. I feel like I continue to pick him, but I just feel like he's due. And if it's not tonight and he's still due, I'd rather it be in the tournament. I think he has the opportunity. Look, it's late in his career, right? Only putting on this jersey a couple more times. He's got two more opportunities to put it on as a regular season player. So I think – and he's been – like Saturday, he had a couple really big steals, a couple big triples. That's impactful play. That's what we need from him. I just like a little bit more. Maybe – two more threes or maybe two more steals, just a little bit more of an impact. And I think in a matchup like tonight, where you got a couple really good guards and Michi Johnson, Talon Cooper, you've got to do a really good job defending those guys, but also you know what they are in the paint. A good defensive team in the paint, a lot of opportunities to get some threes on the perimeter and create some offense that way. I'd love to see Santiago Vescovi get it going tonight. I'll continue to kind of push him and push the narrative of Vescovy, but I think tonight would be a good opportunity for him. You mentioned Zakai Ziegler. I don't consider him a role player anymore. I think he's the second best player on the team, especially since the new calendar year. I mean, he's been the most consistent guy each night. And that's not a stray to connect, but some nights we get a 13-point performance. And granted, it was because he was in foul trouble. But, like, you know what you're getting with Ziegler every night. You're getting it on the defensive end. You know what you're getting in the playmaking. And he's really hit some big shots down the stretch as well. I don't even consider him a role player anymore. Something I want to bring up, though. So I saw on Twitter yesterday there was a poll put out by a Tennessee account that said March 22 Kennedy Chandler or March 2024 Zakai Ziegler. So would you take Kennedy Chandler or would you take this version of Zakai Ziegler?
I saw the poll and I voted Ziegler. Good. If I'm honest, Chandler felt to me kind of like what Kennedy Chandler was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I think when he got here and he never really got to that point. Zakai Ziegler, now that he's a second option, I mean, I would rather have his performances. I mean, some of the flawless double-double nights, point off from a triple-double some mm-hmm. nights. Like, I'd much rather have that alongside what we have in our other players than what we got out of Kennedy Chandler.
I agree. I voted Ziegler as well, and so did 81% of the poll.
Yeah, I saw that. Very lopsided number.
Kennedy Chandler was a great basketball player, really good scorer.
Yeah.
I thought he got better as the year went on. I wish he would have stayed for a year or two more. I think it would have helped his career out too. But that's not the point. Zakai Ziegler is better on the defensive end. He's better for this team because he's a facilitator. And I think his skills overall are more valued on this team than Kennedy's would. So I just want to get your opinion on that. I saw it a couple of days ago and thought I'd bring that up. But so now going to what's at stake tonight, knowing that the one seed is still in the balance, really with a win tonight, you earn it. How important is tonight in the scheme of the season and the tournament? How important is this game?
This is as important, if not more important, than any regular season game this team has played under Rick Barnes. And I don't think that's too much of a stretch, because you, in the history of your program, have never gotten to the one line. It's like the one thing you haven't done besides make the Final Four is get on that one line and really control your destiny and have one of the easier paths to get there. And so for tonight, along with the SEC championship, I think that's getting overlooked now that we know we're playing for a one seed. But you've won that before. The one line is such a huge deal for the program, mm-hmm. such a huge deal for Barnes. I think it would be a huge achievement. So tonight it's massive. It puts you in the driver's seat. I mean, that's not something we thought we would get a couple weeks ago. We figured it was, well, Arizona's going to have to slip up. Houston's going to have to slip up. Purdue's going to have to slip up. Now you have an opportunity. Well, none of those teams have slipped up, really. But neither of you.
Yeah,
I didn't know that we'd be in a spot where we could go 5-0 in our last five games. When we look back on this five game stretch, we looked at it a few weeks ago and said, "Well, you probably don't win against Alabama, right?"
Yeah.
Now you're perfect going into South Carolina. Huge stakes. It's massive. A huge game
tonight. Well, it was coming off that A&M loss,
loss in College Station.
I brought it up. I was like, "Look." Look at this next five games. You've got a favorable matchup. You had a couple cupcakes. The Missouri one ended up being a little bit more like a burnt cupcake. But then you played Auburn and Alabama, both at home. Or I guess A&M and Auburn at home were the final two of the five. You both got wins in those. I thought and we thought that Tennessee would go 5-0 during that stretch. Now, we cut it off at five because of the Alabama game. You're able to get it done. Now, that's six in a row. And now you've got an opportunity tonight. We always knew, even when we looked at this schedule a couple months back, a couple of our first episodes on here, we circled the end of this stretch with Alabama, Auburn, Alabama, South Carolina, Kentucky. We circled this as a stretch that it was going to move the line. Were you going to be a contender or a pretender? So far, you're a contender. I think tonight you have even more of an opportunity to put that contender font in bold. So I think tonight is very important. I know Saturday was the most important game under Rick Barnes ever, and now it kind of moves into tonight. So the stakes keep on getting bigger, but good, great teams, the stakes will always continue to mount up.
Exactly.
The good teams can't get it done. They They fear away from the competition. The great teams can get it done. We'll see if the Vols can get it done tonight. Let's hope so. Let's hope for a victory Thursday tomorrow.
Yes.
And we'll continue to give updates during the game. We'll now move over to baseball when we come back from the break. Stay right here on Overtime.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just wasn't up to par? Well, if I'm being honest, that was me. Just a downright irresponsible and plain bad coach. Then SM Athletics changed the game. I want you to picture this. I walk into their store, a coach with a vision. SM Athletics didn't just see a coach. They saw a team's potential. And they delivered custom uniforms so striking. Our team's spirit soared. From cutting-edge apparel to top-notch equipment, SM Athletics transformed our presence. No more unreliable online orders or envying the other team's style. SM Athletics stands for quality, design, and on-time delivery every time. Coaches, elevate your team with SM Athletics. Call 865-966-3434 or visit smathletics.com. Get the best for your team, delivered right and on time. So, elevate your team's game by contacting SM Athletics today.
Are you in need of a smile makeover? Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Costa at Knoxville Smiles. And if you're ready to improve your smile, replace teeth that are missing, make your dentures tighter, add implants to your mouth, whatever you may need, we're here to discuss a wide range of easy, pain-free cosmetic and restorative procedures that can create a glowing, radiant smile that you've always dreamed of. Don't wait any longer. The time is now. Call us today at Knoxville Smiles and schedule your appointment at 865-539-1776 or go online to KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
The superbly versatile all-electric EQB from Mercedes-Benz, a compact SUV that's full of big surprises. An optional fold-out third row offers luxurious comfort for up to seven occupants. And almost 24 cubic feet of cargo space means this compact SUV is big enough to handle anything you can throw at it or in it. You can set the tone any way you like with 64 color customizable ambient lighting throughout. And just like every other Mercedes-Benz EV, the EQB features the very latest generation MBUX voice-activated tech. So whether you want to set a new destination, change the tunes, or tune up the heat, all you have to say is, "Hey, Mercedes, this vehicle's all electric, the feeling's all Mercedes." Test drive the EQB today at your local dealer or learn more at MBUSA.com/EQB. That's MBUSA.com/EQB.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Back here on Overtime, now switching over to the Diamond, where the baseball Vols are almost as hot as the basketball Vols. And I guess, I mean, really, in terms of the amount of wins they've had in a row, they are hotter. But
yeah,
it's good that both of them are rolling. And last night, Dean Curley was rolling for the Vols as the Vols dominate against Kansas State. A record-setting night from freshman shortstop Dean Curley. Led the number 7 Tennessee Vols to an emphatic 15-5 win over Kansas State on Tuesday at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. The California native tied UT's single-game record with 3 home runs and finished with 9 RBIs, a Tennessee freshman record and one shy of the program record of 10, set by Joe Ronda against Louisville in 1991. So this is a rare feat for the Vols. Curley nearly completed the home run cycle, but flew out to the wall in right field in his final at-bat of the night. His first homer of the night was a grand slam in a 6-run third inning for the Big Orange that busted open a 4-2 game. Curley followed that with a 3-run blast in the fourth inning and capped his incredible night with a 2-run shot in the sixth. So he, every time he was up to bat, it was going over the wall, or getting right near, or, you know, damn near. So despite the lopsided final score, the Vols, who now improved to 12-1, had to battle out of an early hole after falling behind 2-0 in the top of the first inning. The Wildcats' lead was short-lived, however, as UT answered with three runs in the bottom of the second to take the lead for good. Tuesday's victory marks UT's fourth straight contest, scoring double-digit runs, and the seventh time total this season through 13 games. Seven different Vols registered multi-hit efforts on the night as the team finished with 17 base hits for the second consecutive game, tying a season high. As we mentioned earlier with Joshy, Christian Moore, Blake Burke, Billy Amick, Cannon Peebles, Dylan Dreiling, and Hunter Ensley all finished with two hits apiece, while Moore, Amick, and Dreiling all added home runs as well. On the mound, we saw Nate Snead, a guy that we thought was going to come out and start. He improved to 3-0 on the year after pitching four innings out of the bullpen, while Andrew Benke and Dylan Loy combined to strike out four batters across the final three innings. Kansas State, who now drops to 7-4, was led by leadoff man Chuck Ingram, who finished 3-for-4 with an RBI. Starting pitcher Owen Barima was tagged for 9 runs on 9 hits and 2 walks and 3 innings of work to fall to 1-1 on the year.
That's their ace,
and that
way.
Was supposed to be their guy. Takeaways from the Vols' big win, I'll begin with that right there. That was Kansas State was throwing their ace, their best guy, in Barima. And not only were you able to take advantage of it, you were able to embarrass the guy. 9 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, and 3 innings? That's the way you come out and set the tone. And this was a respectable Kansas State group. Now, not the best record in the world. But anytime you have the opportunity to play against a Power 5 school, if you will, in Kansas State in the Big 12, that's a big opportunity, a bigger one than playing Bowling Green, I'll tell you that. But you were able to continue the same momentum you had last weekend against the Falcons, and you bring it into this matchup against the Wildcats and really almost have an even more impressive performance. This offense is fun to watch. This is an appealing product. We talked yesterday with one of our callers about how fun this Tennessee Vols basketball team is to watch. This baseball team provides as many fireworks as the basketball
exactly.
team. And a little bit more, too. I mean, if you go to the game, don't park anywhere near the outfield. You're going to get dinged. The offense looks great. I think Nate Snead coming in looked really good yesterday. A guy that we thought would start did not, but comes in out of the bullpen, looks good. I think that you're continuing to learn more about this team, and a lot of the stuff you're learning is good. Dawson, your takeaways.
Yeah, real quick. First off, score update. Vols are currently in the top of the third against, is it Southern Illinois tonight?
Southern Indiana. Yeah.
The Screaming Eagles, which, by the way, great mascot. It's 0-0, top of the third. But Sechrist got the ball tonight to start. A little bit of a confidence boost, I guess, bringing him in on a Wednesday and doing good so far. He's through 2 2/3, 1 walk, 5 Ks so far. Nice numbers. Giving up a couple hits, but nothing too much yet. But the Vols offense yet to get off the ground.
Yes.
Tiers 1-for-1. Everybody else has failed to reach base. So waiting on some progress there, but still 0-0 there in the third inning over at Lindsey Nelson. My takeaways, number one, this team can hang with anybody in the country. This was a Kansas State team that started the year ranked. They were number 24 at the beginning of the year, and we're 7-3 coming into this game, and like you said, threw their guy. I mean, they threw their number one guy, and you plastered him all night. 9 runs before he even gets the hook. Incredible offensive output, and it tells me, you know, I've heard a lot of doubts, especially on social media. Well, when they get to face a good team, a good pitching staff, they're doomed. Their offense isn't going to do very much.
Well, that didn't age well.
It has not aged well. Now, granted, when you get to the more elite SEC staffs, okay, maybe you're not going to get 15 runs a night.
No.
But this tells me that they can hit against anybody in the country. I mean, it's not going to be held to your Southern Indianas, your Bowling Greens, your Albanys. So that was good to see. Good to see that you can have a home run derby against a really good Power 5 team in your home ballpark. So that was great. Second one for me, Dean Curley is making his case for the permanent shortstop job.
Yeah.
I know we're waiting on Ariel Antigua to come back from an injury, but unfortunately it's provided Curley an opportunity to kind of raise himself into this conversation.
Yeah.
Six home runs in his first – I don't remember what the stat was, 8 or 9 hits as of all. So that's a little bit ridiculous. Obviously, 3 of them last night. But is really making a strong case. Is just always able to get a big hit, especially as a freshman. That's huge. And defensively, he's looked good as well.
Mm-hmm.
His glove has been good. He's made a couple plays already in tonight's game, apparently, as well. They caught somebody stealing or caught on a pickoff or something. He made a really nice move over at short. So making his case to be the permanent guy, even once Antigua comes back. Last one for me, give Nate Snead a Sunday. I don't know why we're still having this conversation. I mean, our biggest thing with him was, can he do it for an extended amount of time? Four innings is a longer outing than three. Yeah. There's a longer outing than two. They're slowly working him to where he can get long innings as a flamethrower, and I think it's time to give him a Sunday start.
Yeah.
I don't think he can hold him back anymore to coming out of the bullpen on a Tuesday. I think it's time to get him in there, see how he fares. Maybe that's this weekend against Illinois on what would be, I think, 4 days rest. That's not too bad for a start. Even if he doesn't go very long, give him the ball, and let's see what we have in Nate Snead.
Yeah, let's see. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Friday, Saturday. It'd be 4 days rest.
4 days rest. Okay,
To pitch
correct,
on Sunday.
Correct, yeah, yeah.
Give him the start.
Do you think he should be the starter on Sunday?
I think he should. I think he's either him or A.J. Causey have probably proven they're worth to be that guy, unless Causey has to go on Friday for A.J. Russell.
Yeah. I think you could use Causey or Snead interchangeably, because I think you could bring Snead in on a Friday too and have him throw heat. You do point out something that they've progressively started to give him more innings. So maybe that was their strategy all along. Let's prep this guy to where we know what he comes out and brings each night. We know he's going to throw it harder than hell. But let's kind of give this guy some experience of playing multiple innings and then kind of bump it up a little bit. Kind of like load management when they're bringing guys back in the NBA kind of deal. They up the minutes up. I think that's what you're seeing with Nate Snead. Would like to see him get a start as well on Sunday. I think Causey is just fine where he is right now. I really do. I like the A.J. tandem. I think that's a ferocious tandem to start a weekend off and way to set the tone. Let's go back to this offense, though. And one more takeaway for me, as fun as the home runs are, I think getting on base is something that's kind of being not overlooked but not talked about as much because of all the big home runs. But the Vols are doing a lot better job this year, I think, of getting on base. Sometimes last year I've kind of felt like you were too reliant on just knocking it out of the park. I think it's very important to also get on base, and then you have the opportunity when the big hitter comes up, you can get even more runs out of it. So they've done a good job this season getting on base, putting balls in play, and that's why you're able to run up the score like you were last night. Tennessee continued its power surge with a season-high 6 home runs on Tuesday night, giving them 32 on the year. UT has homered in all 13 games this season. How awesome is this offense?
Oh, it's incredible to watch. It reminds me of the 2022 team, but like you said, with more consistent ability to get on base rather than just being a boom or bust, either they're going to homer or they're going to strike out threat, which I think, again, I've said this before, was the 2022 team's biggest weakness, is that they just could not hit for contact. It was either, oh, wow, what a great home run, but you can't get on base and get a single. So this team can do it in a big way, too, can really – run around the rotation. I mean, they've hit around, I think, 3 or 4 times already this year in one inning. Even last weekend against Bowling Green, they did so on Saturday. So they can hit for power and they can hit for contact. And, I mean, all through the lineup, this is becoming the most dangerous lineup, I think, that Tony Vitello's had in Knoxville in his career here, if it continues to develop this way. I saw a stat. The 2022 team had 37 home runs through 12 games in the regular season. This team, as of last night, has 32 through 13 games.
Uh-huh.
Pretty close. I mean, pretty good parallels. But the fact that you're doing that and you're adding on, the on-base percentage, the guys that are just hitting singles, getting on base, drawing walks is massive. It's going to make this team go to a whole other level offensively. Maybe a reason to temper our expectations till we see some of these SEC staffs, Alabama, LSU, Vanderbilt, those kind of teams. But until then, it's really awesome to see right now.
Yeah, and I think when you look at that 2022 team, comparing it to this year, I think you've got more depth. And I think you've got better pitching, too. So,
yes.
I think this is kind of the perfect storm, and being able to replicate those, record-setting numbers in 2022, once again, this is a dangerous baseball team. And I think, Vitello's done a great job with this group, especially coming in and hitting in the portal. I think Billy Amick, we continue to talk about this guy, but I think he's such a big addition. Losing Denton, who's going to fill those shoes? Amex come in here and been as good. Let's head to the phones real quick before we hit a break. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to hop in. We've got Chris on the line. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, talking about Amex, I mean, good Lord, we knew this guy was good.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, is he going to have more of an impact than Kinect, as crazy as that sounds?
I don't think that's crazy to say, especially early on in the season, what we've seen from him.
I have called him the Dalton Kinect of baseball so far.
There you go.
I mean, even at the start, the first several games, there were four or five I just remember ropes that just got, great plays by the defense. He hit the one with I can't remember who it was, hit Christian Moore, whoever. I mean, he could easily have, it doesn't matter at the end of the year, but this guy can rake.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a great addition to have to an already, really good offense, adding him into it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost playing with fire there.
You can tell that this team definitely can, top to bottom, is a better offensive team. It's just like you guys were talking about, the starting pitching. How's it going to work out?
Yeah.
We'll just have to see.
Mm-hmm.
But, obviously we can – Gamecocks, obviously a huge game. I think the first game, that was the worst game they played all year. Man, they missed like 10 or 12 just layups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember watching that game just being like, good Lord, what's going on?
A ton of free throws.
They're not going to come out with that intensity tonight, knowing what's on the stake, but – obviously you win it all, but it'd be much better to obviously win it all outright than to split it. But, winning this takes – obviously Kentucky's a huge game this weekend. You're never going to take that game lightly. But it will be nice just not having to sweat that bullet. If you lose tonight, you have to win Kentucky to share part of the SEC title.
Yeah, and even looking outside the SEC title, you win tonight, you get a one seed, and that really helps you out. Obviously, it's a projected one seed, but still not having to be in the same bracket as a Houston I don't think you'd be put
UConn.
In the – Yeah, I think UConn would be the only other one you could maybe be put in. But avoiding those guys in your region I think is very big.
Yes.
Arizona's a beatable team. If you're able to draw them as a one seed, that'd be great. But tonight – eliminates the worry about it. Now you're the one seed. You have the opportunity to play the best two seed, and that would be Arizona. But that's a beatable team. That's a winnable game.
Right. Yes.
Houston's a really tough matchup. UConn's a really tough matchup. I think tonight is very important outside of the SEC title as well. And going back to that first game, you shut them down inside the arc. They shot the lights out from three. You struggled. You went 5 of 23 from three. A very uncharacteristic shooting night for the Vols. You'd expect tonight that they have a better number than that. And also, they miss a ton of rim attempts, free throws, and the Gamecocks only won by 4 in that game. So I think if Tennessee – go ahead.
Oh, and they only get – would Sacramento have low 60 points? It's not like they scored 90 on us like him.
Yeah, 63-59 was the final. And that was a close game, even though, a little bit down the stretch, you were a little bit inflated with Kinect kind of hitting some, toss-up shots. But still, that game was close, and you played your worst game of the season. I think the Vols have an opportunity tonight to get some revenge.
Well, I hope so, considering I just put $50 on us to win.
Well, there you go. Hey, well, when they win tonight, go get yourself a nice cold drink and enjoy it.
Oh, I'm already doing that now. Not on
well, there you
not
go.
On Philly's level, but I'm already started.
Well, there
All
you
guys,
go.
Guys, love the show. Y'all have a good night. Go Vols.
We appreciate it, Chris. Go Vols. Thank you so much for calling in. When we come back, we'll give our best bets of the night right here on Overtime.
Hey guys, it's Logan Quinton from the 920 Podcast and Fan Run Varsity Spotlight. Yes, it's the Cookie Man, and I'm here to tell you about something sweet. Crumbl Cookies is the fastest growing cookie company in the nation. After only 4 years, 500 plus stores are in operation in 50 states, with many more in build out. Just a reminder to go see the Crumbl crew at Parkside Drive or Clinton Highway. And please, come check out the new location in Maryville. 1765 West Broadway, Suite C.
eBay Motors here for the ride. Elbow grease and a whole lot of love transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive entirely its own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it all at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home the win. Keep your ride or die alive at eBayMotors.com. Eligible items only.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just wasn't up to par? Well, if I'm being honest, that was me. Just a downright irresponsible and plain bad coach. Then SM Athletics changed the game. I want you to picture this. I walk into their store, a coach with a vision. SM Athletics didn't just see a coach. They saw a team's potential. And they delivered custom uniforms so striking. Our team's spirit soared. From cutting-edge apparel to top-notch equipment, SM Athletics transformed our presence. No more unreliable online orders or envying the other team's style. SM Athletics stands for quality, design, and on-time delivery every time. Coaches, elevate your team with SM Athletics. Call 865-966-3434 or visit smathletics.com. Get the best for your team, delivered right and on time. So, elevate your team's game by contacting SM Athletics today.
A brand built in Tennessee and born from the love of the game. Inward Half revolutionizes golfing comfort. Crafted by a former pro and dedicated enthusiast just like you, our luxury performance wear guarantees you stay cool and comfortable through every swing. And every day. We're not just a brand. We've set out to create a lifestyle for those who understand that impeccable style and premium performance are a hole-in-one. Enjoy the walk-in with Inward Half.
Are you ready to play hard and work harder? Are you looking to take the next step in your career with a company who celebrates hard work and appreciates those who do it? Then it's time to join the movement at Axel Logistics. Axel is looking to expand their award-winning sales team with logistics consultants who are outgoing, ambitious, and thrive in a fast-paced environment. If that sounds like you, visit axellogistics.com to learn more. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on Fan Run Radio. Axel Logistics, now is your time.
Your tax refund belongs to you, not an identity thief. Over $6 billion in tax refunds were flagged by the IRS for possible identity theft last year. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. They monitor and alert you to identity threats you'd miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become a victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve your identity theft issue. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Let LifeLock help protect your financial info, so all you have to worry about is what you do with your tax refund. Go to LifeLock.com, save up to 25% off your first year. The promo code is HERD, promo code H-E-R-D, to save up to 25% off your first year. LifeLock.com, identity theft protection starts here. Okay.
Lil CC on that beat. Yeah, yeah. I mean, where the f should I really even start? I got that I'm keeping in the dark. I got my
back here on overtime. Time for our best bets of the night. And I'll begin with Minnesota, the Gophers, -5.5 tonight, taking on Indiana. Minnesota is one of the best covering teams in the country against the spread. 24-5 on the year, 17-2 at home. The Gophers also are not on the bubble, but they're in range of a tournament berth. They need to do well in the Big Ten tournament, but this is an opportunity tonight to get a big win at home. I guess not a big win. Indiana is not that great of a team, but get a win at home right before the tournament. 5.5, where you've been 17-2 in these games against the spread. I like Minnesota tonight.
Well, riding with the top two teams in the country for me tonight, I'll start with Houston, -8.5 on the road against UCF. I'm surprised the spread's not double digits. I mean, UCF's a pretty good team, but they're hovering right around 500, whereas Houston, I feel like, has only gotten better over the last few weeks. Yeah, they're on the road, and it's tough to win on the road in college basketball and all that, but I mean, Houston is just that kind of dominant team, especially defensively, that I feel like this is not a very hard number to get to for them at 8.5. I feel like they keep on rolling, and I like them tonight, -8.5 against UCF.
My next best bet, Iowa State, -7.5, taking on BYU at home. Look, Iowa State is a group that could make a run in the tournament, and that's a lot in due part to Taman Lipsey and Keyshawn Gilbert, their two guards. BYU shoots a lot of threes. That's kind of their bread and butter. They live and die by it. You know, they shoot upwards of 30 to 35 threes a night. Iowa State's done a really good job this season defending, and those guards I just mentioned, and Lipsy and Gilbert, they do a really good job defensively. I think this is a tough matchup for BYU at home or on the road. And keep in mind, BYU just got a big upset last week on the road at Kansas. So I think they're kind of due for a little bit of a regression here. I like Iowa State minus 7.5.
Going to the other top two team, UConn minus 5.5. You heard Joshy talk about that one at Marquette. If Kolick was playing in this game, I'd probably take Marquette to cover in this game, but he is not. He is out with UConn at full strength. They're the best team in the country, I think, still, in my opinion. And so I like them tonight. 5.5 on the road, maybe a little bit tough to cover at a top 10 team, but for this team, nothing is too tough. This team is by far dominant. And again, without Kolick in this game, you take away an X factor for the Marquette offense. I just don't think they're going to be able to pace UConn. So I like the Huskies tonight minus 5.5.
All right, those are our best bets of the night. Okay. Minnesota. Oh, you got one more.
I thought you had three. That's
no,
why
no,
I was
no.
Gonna...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
One more, and this is kind of a consolation pick after last night, thanks to Dean Wade in Cleveland for making me look like a genius, handing Boston their first loss since February 1st. Cavs are plus 2.5 tonight on the road in Atlanta. Again, why are we doing this with the Cleveland Cavaliers? They're 2.5-point dogs tonight against a Hawks team. It's just not very good.
Nope.
The Murray and Young marriage, we've talked about it, is not working. And with the Cavs coming off that win, do we see another Dean Wade game tonight? I don't know. We'll see. That was fun to watch last night. So I like Cleveland at plus 2.5.
All right, we'll try it again. All right, those are our best bets of the night. Minnesota minus 5.5. Iowa State minus 7.5 for me.
UConn minus 5.5, Houston minus 8.5, and Cavs at plus 2.5.
All right, we'll see if the white D. Wade will be able to prevail tonight in Atlanta. All right, when we come back, we'll talk NFL and NBA right here on Overtime.